I was born in Munich and regarded myself always as a Münchner Kindl, a Munich kid who wore a dirndl in summer. My mother, too, was born in Munich. My father was a Bavarian from Arnstein, but established himself as a lawyer in Munich in 1914. I still have the official document giving him the right to move from the royal borough of Arnstein to acquire the right of citizenship in Munich. I had a happy childhood, despite some unpleasant interludes. Perhaps my parents protected me from the worst, but also because they themselves were courageous. We lived in number 10 Possartstrasse in Munich. We had the top floor flat. There was another flat below us, and the other two floors were offices. It was the only building in that street that was destroyed by a bomb during the war. It was at the corner of Kopernikusstrasse, and when it was rebuilt after the war, the entrance was at the side. So now there is number 8 Possartstrasse and number 12, but no number 10. We are wiped off the map. Number 11 Weinstraße, where my father's law firm was, does still exist. We had a little chalet in Walchensee where we went for every holiday, including in winter and some weekends. The snow would be so deep, it reached the top of the fence. So when I was about 5 years old, they put skis on my feet so I could move about. In summer, I wore a dirndl or my brother's outgrown lederhosen. My girlfriends were Jewish and non-Jewish, some of whom I still know and like. And then there was that notice as we drove into Walchensee. Under the name of the village was this plaque, put up as we were told by the owner, Bucherer, of the café across the road. Jews are not welcomed here. It wasn't the only village that had that notice, but we just drove past it and felt it had nothing to do with us. It did not frighten us. Perhaps, if it had, we might have emigrated as a family. There were no Jews that lived permanently in Walchensee. The Bernsteins came from Chemnitz and the Eisners from Berlin for the summer holidays only. So I played with the local kids. And I liked going down with my mother to the Waldelbauer to get fish. The Waldelbäuerin loved me because my name was Maria Beate, which was Catholic. She used to cut a piece of dark homemade bread from a big round loaf and spread it with her own butter and pour me a glass of buttermilk that had little bits of butter floating in it. Sometime in 1937, the Gestapo telephoned my father at his office to tell him that if our family ever went to our house in Walchensee again, they would burn it over our heads. So of course we never went back again to our beloved little house. That was really sad. It didn't have a formal address, we were just Siegel, Walchensee. My father had a client with him when the call came through. He obviously heard what went on and immediately offered to buy the house. At that time, Jews could only sell any of their property for no more than 10% of its value. But my father thought that was better than just leaving it. The deal was done. It was a lovely timber chalet designed by Richard Riemerschmid, a well-known architect who was responsible for a number of buildings, including the Schauspielhaus in Munich. My mother, Mathilde Waldner, studied at the Kunstgewerbeschule in Munich, where she got to know him. My father found out that Baldur von Schirach, a friend of the local forest commissioner, wanted to acquire it. So he was delighted to have done him out of it by selling it to Herr Kirmreuter from Berlin. He and his wife moved there when their place in Berlin was bombed and lived in the house for the rest of their lives. Their son then moved in, but in due course decided that he wanted a stone villa. He had the little timber house pulled down, and that was very, very sad for our whole family. He married, had no children, and now both he and his wife are dead. Who owns the place now? Does it matter? Are we just wiped out again? Many of our family's friends were not Jewish, and we, as well as they, believed that Hitler, this Austrian sergeant, wouldn't last long. After they beat up my father in March 1933, my mother said, "This is a hint from the Almighty. Let's get out of here." But my father answered, "They are not going to touch me again." Were they both right? There were shops near where we lived in Bogenhausen. A dairy, a greengrocer's, no Jewish shops nor any general stores. We just did our shopping locally like everyone else. There's a bakery in the Ismaninger Straße today that's been there ever since my childhood. We would go to Uhlfelder, a store in town in Rosenthal, or to Tietz near the main station. That was called Hertie later. The Uhlfelder store soon had these notices painted on the shop windows telling people not to buy there. Our flat on the fourth floor of number 10 Possartstraße had a small balcony with a semicircular railing. One day my mother noticed two SS men outside the main entrance below and figured that they were waiting for my father. So she thought she ought to warn my father, who would have turned into Possartstraße some 100 meters away. Since I could whistle really loud through my fingers, she said I should stand on the balcony, wait for my father to turn into our street, whistle our family whistle, and signal for him to keep away. I did, he saw me and turned back. A couple of hours later, the SS man had given up. He came home safe and sound. But here we were in Munich, in Possartstraße, that led to Prinzregentenplatz, where Hitler lived. One day, on my way to my piano lesson, I was waiting to cross the road by the Friedensengel when this big black chauffeur-driven Mercedes car swept round the corner just where I was standing. Sitting next to the driver was Hitler. He saw me with my Platz and my Dirndl and smiled at me. Years later, I remembered this and told it to my youngest son. He was taken aback and, after a little pause, asked me if I smiled back at Hitler. "Of course not," I answered indignantly. I have heard of Jewish kids giving the Hitler salute, but that would never have occurred to me. No way. And then I used to go skating. Jews were not allowed, but I went all the same. If they want to throw me out, I thought, let them throw me out. They never did. My brother was more cautious than I was. He was older and perhaps understood more. But then, again, maybe I was more like my father, sort of defiant. It seemed quite normal to do that. I mean, I knew who I was. After the pogrom of November 1938, Jews were prohibited from employing maids who were younger than 50. And as our faithful Traudel was only some 35 years old, she had to leave us. We were all unhappy about that. She had been part of our family and she was a good person. So Risi came. Risi was quite old and heavy, but spoke real Bavarian. I remember she urged me to eat my soup so I should grow big and strong. Well, I never grew big, but I'm reasonably strong. It must have been the soup.